If you've ever listened to rock radio in Los Angeles, you know Rodney Bingenheimer. If you haven't, you may wonder why anyone would want to make a movie about him. Los Angeles Times Morning Edition critic Kenneth Turan has the answer.
Rodney Bingenheimer has a name you could not make up and a voice you can't forget, even if you wanted to.
106.7 KROQ, Rodney on the Rock. I'd like to welcome on the telephone right now none other than David Bowie. Hello, David.
Hi, Rodney. How are you?
It's great to hear from you.
He's been called the Prince of Pop, the King of LA Radio, Mayor of the Sunset Strip. That's the name of a new documentary about Mr. B. But if you're not from Los Angeles, why should you care? For one thing, Bingenheimer has been a force in the music business, instrumental in helping to break such artists as David Bowie, the Sex Pistols, Nirvana, and Coldplay. The Beach Boys sing his jingle.
Got your radios on? It's time for Rodney on the Rock. From now to 3 a.m., live in-studio guest, Brian Wilson.
The film about Rodney Bingenheimer is directed by George Hickenlooper, best known for his documentary Hearts of Darkness, about the making of Apocalypse Now. Hickenlooper sees Bingenheimer as something more than a famous DJ, former club owner, and scenester. For him, this quiet little man, forever blinking in the bright light of day, is the ultimate product of society's obsession with fame. Rodney Bingenheimer is someone who became known for being an intimate of the well-known, someone who believed that proximity to celebrity would set him free. How much that happened and at what cost is the fascinating question this film asks. Bingenheimer had a lonely childhood.
Yeah, my parents got a divorce when I was 3 years old. And I hadn't seen Rodney too much after that, really.
I'd stay home alone, basically. Looking at movie magazines and teen magazines and just doing the average kid thing.
He became the ultimate fan. Rodney knew them all, says a disbelieving childhood friend.
The question to me is, why is it that, why did the celebrities glom on, or allow to be glommed onto by this guy that, I mean, around here, people would just kind of make fun of?
Interviews with stars, friends, and the man himself show that Bingenheimer unquestioningly buys into the system, wanting nothing of the stars but their presence. Bingenheimer says Sonny and Cher were like his mom and dad. Cher puts it this way.
He just seemed very genuine and you didn't have to really worry about him, you know? You didn't have to wonder what he wanted or what was his ulterior motive or anything like that. He was just a really sweet boy and just kind of there to absorb whatever he could absorb, just like he was looking at everything and kind of learning about everything.
But it's also as if Bingenheimer and celebrities felt an instinctive kinship. Stars also turn out to be damaged people with childhood wounds that have never healed. There is sadness here. In one of Mayer's most revealing moments, Bingenheimer says he wishes his life had been different. Despite his proximity to fame and its blandishments, there is no one to whom he can claim a close emotional attachment. At one point, the filmmaker asks Bingenheimer's father and stepmother,
"What do you think so special about mingling with celebrities?"
Mm-hmm. I don't know that either. I couldn't explain that.
I don't either. I can't. I haven't an answer.
They don't have an answer, and neither does Mayor of the Sunset Strip. And that mystery makes the film all the more worth watching.
Do you want this movie to have a happy ending or a sad ending?
Do you think it's going to have a happy ending?
It's up to you, Rodney.
Really?
Comments of Kenneth Turan, a movie critic for Morning Edition and the Los Angeles Times. More reviews and movie-related interviews are at npr.org.